I thought that today would be a good time to take a break from our study in Matthew and address some of the concerns that we see in our world today. We are living in a time unlike any other time that I've lived, where there seems to be a lot of fear, a lot of panic, a lot of concern, genuine concern, a lot of questions. And so I want to ask the question today, does the Lord have anything to say about the current confusion in our day and age? Does the Lord have anything to say today? Because I'll be honest with you, when you first called me to be your preacher some 6 years ago, I was 22. And let me go ahead. There's two decisions that have been made by other people concerning my life that I think that person was crazy, but I'm glad they made the decision. So let me go ahead and just let you say two. The first one is, my mother-in-law and father-in-law allowed me to marry their daughter when she was only 20 and she hadn't finished school yet.
She was 19.
She was 19. We got married. She was 20 when we got married. She was 19 when I asked. And my mother-in-law keeps telling me, I hope one day Lottie Ruth grows up and I hope she turns 19. And I hope a young boy comes and asks you to marry her. And I said, I'm going to laugh and tell him no. Sorry. Did it. The second decision that was when Midway Baptist Church voted me to be your pastor 6 years ago when I was only 22. That was crazy. Let me tell y'all that. But I'm glad you did it. And when I was 22, there was an overwhelming idea that I would be coming on a weekly basis and I would be providing you something. I'd be standing in this pulpit and it would either be good or bad, but I'd be providing you something. And really what I learned during that time was that y'all don't care what I have to say. Y'all don't care about my opinion. I'm a 22-year-old. Y'all didn't care about what I thought about marriage. I just got married. Y'all didn't care what I thought about parenting. I didn't have a kid. Y'all didn't care what I thought about the trials of this life. I was 22. My biggest trial was that one time I ran out of gas, right? That's not a trial. But I did know this. You didn't care what I had to say, but you'd better care what the Lord has to say. And my job, still, to this day, is not to tell you what I think. My job is to tell you what the Lord says in His Word. So today I want to tell you what the Lord says about panic and pandemics. I want to tell you what the Lord says about confusion and chaos. And I want to tell you what the Lord says about His world today. Psalm 46 helps us to see that the psalmist is reminding us of a few central truths, basic truths that help stabilize us in trying times. The Bible reminds us from Genesis to Revelation that God desires His people to rest in Him and to trust in Him regardless of their circumstances. And so today, I want us to reject fear, to reject worry, to reject panic, and to embrace the truths that God has revealed in His holy, inerrant, infallible Word. So as we look at Psalm 46, we know that the Word of God is living and breathing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, even dividing the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So before we read this text and consider it, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray this morning that You would help us to know You. We pray this morning that You would help us to hear from You. We know that You are great and mighty and that You have an answer for all of our issues today, all of our problems today. And so we pray today that You would help us to attend ourselves to Your Word. We pray this morning that You would bind Satan, that You would keep him from snatching the gospel fruit that will be sowed this morning. And we pray that You would call unbelievers to Yourself and that You would strengthen believers this morning by Your Word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what truths does the psalmist share with us concerning how we can stabilize ourselves in trying times? Well, I just want to begin by reading the psalm, Psalm 46. Maybe a familiar psalm to you, a great psalm for every one of us to commit to memory. It reads like this, Psalm 46, verse 1. We read, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. What a psalm for us in the midst of trying times. What a psalm for us in the midst of destabilization. Psalm 46 comes in and provides a foundation, a firm foundation for the people of God to stand on. I think the psalmist reminds us of three key characteristics, key truths of God for any day, but especially the current day. First, the psalmist reminds us of God's power. How does Psalm 46 begin? The Lord is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. The Lord is our refuge, a place that we can go for protection, a place that we can get out of the rain, if you will. A refuge, our strength. Our strength. We think about the Lord being our strength, and we in ourselves, we are not very strong. We look at mankind as a whole. There was this new idea that sprung up from the Enlightenment, this idea of progress. That you and I, as humanity, we were progressing forward and forward, and we were getting so much better than our forefathers before us. And we had things to prove it, right? Henry Ford invents the automobile, and we can honestly say that the automobile is better at getting around than a horse and buggy. We can say, yeah, look at the progress we've made. Then we as mankind, we invent space travel. We even land on the moon, and we can say, look at us progressing. Not only that, but we have this idea that has come along around the same time where Darwin himself has pronounced that we as a species are evolving and progressing, and we're going to become something greater than we are now. And we're continuing in our progress, and we're continuing in our progress, and we're getting better and better and better and better, and guess what? We still can't stop a small creature, virus, that is spreading the world, as mighty as we are. What we find out is that even in our strength, even in the strength that we have, the strength that we believe we have as mankind, the strength that we believe we have as a country and as the world, we find that it even fails at one of the smallest of God's creations. But there is someone out there who is strong enough to speak to wind and wave. There's one strong enough to speak to viruses and planets. And when he speaks, they obey. He says they can go so forward and no further. He is our strength. That's the idea that the psalmist says, is that even if the world is crumbling around us, he says, even if the earth, the mountains are moved into the heart of the sea, he says, we have strength because it's not in ourselves. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our strength becomes from the Almighty, Omnipotent One, the one who spoke and everything was created, the one who sustains all things by his power. He is our strength. What size God do you serve? Every once in a while, Jordan and I will be talking, and there will be a big issue coming up. There will be a big worry coming up, and one or both of us will be worried about it. And every once in a while, one of us has the sense to look at the other one and ask the question, how big is your God? I'm worried about next week, and I'm worried about an event that's coming up, and I'm worried about how these things are going to work themselves out, and I'm worried because we're in between paychecks. I'm worried because of all these issues. The question that I need to wrestle with is, does my God hold tomorrow? Does he control all things? Is he a big God that cannot be moved, or is he a creature? Because if we serve a creature, he can be moved. And if we serve a statue that cannot hear or cannot speak or cannot see, then we ought to hear. Psalm says, Yahweh, our God, Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord who commands the angelic realms, he is our strength. David will say it like this in Psalm 3. He will say, the Lord is my shield, my exceedingly great reward. He is the lifter of my head. That's our God. Let me tell you, my little girl turned one today, 1 year old. And let me tell you this, she turned one quicker than Knox turned one. She did. I don't know how she did it, but it was quicker. I don't know what we fed her that was different. She turned one quicker. Let me tell you, I love my kids, and I can't imagine what it was like not having them. And let me tell you that I want to protect them and keep them safe. And let me tell you that if there is anything that comes in the yard that ain't supposed to be there, and they come to try to hurt my kids, let me tell you, I'm going to protect them. That's my role. That's my job. I love them. I'm their strength. Knox will tell me every once in a while, I'll put him to bed, and he'll say, hey, you watch the house while I go to sleep. He'll tell me, you make sure no monsters get in here. And I tell him, you got it, bud. I got it. So my son can say, my daddy is my strength. My son can say, no monster is going to come in here because I have the strength of my daddy. The same is true for all of us, right? As much as I love my kids, as much as you love your kids, that amount of love pales in comparison to the love that God Almighty has for you. I can't love you like God loves you. You can't love your children like God loves you. The strongest love that you will ever have is a fraction of the love that God has for you. And he says to you, I will be your strength. Therefore, it does not matter what we face tomorrow. It does not matter. Our God is strong. Our God is mighty. We serve an awesome God. He is our strength. He is our power. To be a present help in trouble means that he is frequently tried and often found and proved. Frequently tried, often found and proved. In other words, nobody has tested the strength of God and him come up short. No, he tells the Israelites, is my arm short that I cannot save? Am I weak that I cannot provide for myself a people that I love and can protect them? Certainly not. He is mighty. We must trust in the power of God in unstabilizing times. The second, the psalmist reminds us of God's presence. He reminds us of God's presence. There in verse 4, we read this, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. This river that whose streams make glad the city of God. This is to convey the presence of God, that he is with him. A river gives life and fruit. So God's Spirit also gives his people life and sustaining power. And this is what the psalmist is saying, that God is with us. The message from Genesis to Revelation is Emmanuel. That is why we have Jesus. We read Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, and we find that at the end of Genesis 3, we're in trouble because God is not with us anymore. He has cast us out because of our sin. But from Genesis 3:15 until Revelation, the message of Scripture is that Jesus is coming to be Emmanuel. There is a Messiah who will be your presence, and he will make glad the city, the habitation of the people of God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. This speaks to God's presence with his people. God is with you. Imagine that. Imagine that the omnipotent, holy, mighty being, the most powerful, he is with you. He dwells in the midst of you. This becomes even more pertinent to us after the cross. We are told in Ephesians chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit is now indwelled in us. That he has sealed us for the day of redemption. That he comes to live within us. And that the almighty power that created all things and sustains all things, that power now indwells us. And so we can say that when we live and we breathe and we move, we do it in Christ. We do it in the power of God. God's presence ought to be a comforting reminder to his people. He tells them, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. Is this not what we see today? We see the nations raging, and they have been raging since the time of Jesus and before. We hear the nations rage. We read in Psalm 2 that the nations rage and the people, the kings of the earth, they set themselves up against the Lord and his anointed one. But God says to them, I have set my Messiah, my anointed one, on my holy hill. He shall not be moved. And we can trust in that. Because if that is our Messiah, and if Christ dwells within us, then the only time that we shall be moved is if Christ has moved first. And God will not allow that to happen. God's presence is with us. the kingdoms will rage. They will continue to rage until the end of time. There will be pestilence. There will be disease. There will be hurt. There will be murder. There will be lies. There will be deception. These things are the fruit of mankind's sin, and they will exist until Jesus comes back. But they have an end date. Because we read in, though the nations rage, though the kingdoms totter, what happens? God utters his voice, the earth melts. Does God shout and the earth melts? No, he whispers. He utters his voice. God is so mighty, just a whisper can make the entire earth vanquish. This is the power and the might of God that dwells within you. God's message to you in this time of pandemic and panic, in this time of unstabilization is, I am with you. It's okay. I control all things. It's okay. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts, what does that mean? You ever stop to wonder what the Lord of hosts means? The hosts are the angelic beings. Those that if God allowed us to see them in this room right now, we would be tempted to fall down and worship them. And the Lord is the Lord of multitudes of them. Thousands and thousands of them, they all bow to him. Some of them were created only to proclaim his holiness from here until eternity. That is the God we serve, a mighty God. He says, my might is now for you. My strength is for you. My presence is for you. That ought to stabilize us and centralize us. We will not be scared. We will not be fearful because our Father is with us and he cares for us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Maybe you've seen pictures of mighty fortresses built in human history. Mighty castles. Maybe the castles that we see that are of old in Japan or in Scotland. These mighty fortresses set upon mountains that they lasted centuries and centuries and could not be conquered because of their might. But those are man-made things, made of iron and stone, and even they will fall one day. But God Almighty will not fall, and he is our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. This psalmist reminds us of God's presence. Not only does he remind us of God's power and of his presence, but last but not least, the psalmist reminds us of God's purpose. God's purpose. As we turn on the news, as we see these things that are heating up and these things that are happening, we see all the information out there, and we're tempted to ask what to believe and what not to believe, and we're tempted to see overreaction, we're tempted to overact ourselves, we're tempted to judge, we're tempted to do all kinds of things. We have to ask the question, Lord, do you know what's going on? It's kind of like I have two brothers, and when we reached a certain age, when my mom would go to work in the summers, we'd just stay at home. And there were some times that me and my older brother, my younger brother, we'd be sitting at home and something would happen and I'd think to myself, I don't think Mama knows what's going on right now. Mama's gone away. We better fix this situation before she comes back because when she finds out what's going on, she's going to be mad. That's not how our God is. God is not an elderly, senile old man who has set the world spinning and now is wondering what in the world's going on. No. Before anybody figured out what in the world was going on in our world, God knew what was going to happen. God had planned it and ordained it and orchestrated it. God has a purpose and a plan. He is not one who has forgotten. He is not one who is outmatched. He is not one who is outwitted. No, instead, God has a purpose even for this. The scriptures say in verse 8, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. In other words, what is God doing? God is bringing peace to a world of chaos. He is breaking the bow. He is breaking the chariot. He is breaking these weapons of war, these instruments of chaos. He is putting them to the side. He is bringing peace. And what does he say? He goes on to say, be still in verse 10 and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. God's purpose has not ceased. God's purpose from the beginning of our world to the end of our world is that he would be known and glorified and exalted in all the earth. That plan has not changed. I make plans and they change. I make plans all the time and something comes up. But God's plans are set in stone. His word is written in heaven and it will not be changed. And so God tells the Israelites, God tells us today, be still and know that I am God and I will be exalted. I will get glory. I will make my name to be known through all eternity. So we rest in that. God's purpose is still the same. God's purpose is still that he would be exalted and that he would be glorified and that he would be known, that peace would come with it. When God brings his kingdom to an area, peace comes with it. God breaks the bow. He breaks the chariot. He shatters the spear. So what do we do about this? We are reminded of God's power. We are reminded of God's presence. We are reminded of God's purpose. But we have to ask the question, what does this mean for us in this time of destabilization? If everybody's crazy, what are we going to do? Do we be crazy with them? Is that what we're supposed to do? Do we sit back and we talk about just those crazy people? What do we do? I have a few applications for you today. At least three. Three things that this passage in God Almighty declares to us today what we ought to do in the midst of this current situation. First, we are reminded, as Moses said in Psalm 90, our days are short. We don't know what's going to happen. And so today, the Bible tells us, is the day of salvation. Call upon the Lord and you will be saved. This is what we are called to do. Call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. If anything comes out of this pandemic, the fact that it reminds us that you and I are frail, then that will be good. Because we need to be reminded that we are not superhuman. We need to be reminded that every man has a date of his death, and we don't know when that day is. And so we must be reminded from the Scripture that today is the day of salvation. We must be reminded that your greatest problem is not a plague. Your greatest problem is not going to happen next week. Your greatest problem is that you were born an enemy of God, and that you have shown yourself to be his enemy every day of your life as you have sinned. And store up for yourself, as Paul says in Romans chapter 3, wrath upon wrath upon wrath. Your greatest problem is that you are separated from God. And God has offered you the solution to that problem in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, perfectly God, perfectly man, light from light eternal, put on human flesh, walked on this earth, was perfectly righteous. No negative thoughts, no sinful actions. And he earned that righteousness in order to give it to you. And the Bible tells us that if we repent of our sins and we trust in the righteousness of Jesus, then we will be new creatures. We will have died to sin and we will be raised to walk in newness of life. And so the Bible tells us, whether in peace or pandemic, that we must trust in the name of Jesus. This is the only hope. It would be a shame to live a perfectly healthy life, 90 plus years, and to die not knowing Jesus. That is a greater shame than living a life of sickness and illness for 30 years and dying knowing Jesus. And we are told today that today is the day of salvation. Trust in Jesus. Because when we trust in Jesus, then what can the world do to us? What could a virus do to us? The worst thing that can happen is that you die. That's the worst thing. That'd be sad. Don't hear me say it wouldn't be. But if you die in Christ, you're with him. The worst thing that can happen is that you get to meet Jesus quicker. How do you stop people like that? How do you stop people sharing the gospel and going to their neighbor and loving them when they know that there is nothing in this world that can hurt them? Nothing in this world that can separate them from the love of God. Neither peace nor pestilence, nor things on heaven, nor things on earth. No, all things God holds together, and nothing can separate us from his love. So today, this passage tells us to repent and to trust in Jesus. Perhaps you have trusted in Jesus. Perhaps you trusted him a long time, and yet, what does this passage say to you? During this time, Jesus tells us, his word tells us, to trust in God as a present help in any situation. Trust in God in any situation. That is the message from God. Regardless of anything that happens in our world today, regardless of whether we have storms or sunshine, the message is we must trust fully in him. He is our fortress. He is our strength. He is our helper. Are you trusting in him? Only trust Him, we sing. Only trust Him today. And the thing that we must remind ourselves on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is that today I will rise up and I will trust only in the Lord. I will not trust in my own ways. No, because I will lead myself astray. But today I will trust in Jesus. I will trust in Him for my safety. I will trust in Him for my sustenance. I will trust in Him for my very being. He is the one that I trust. Third, as God intends to usher in peace, we as His people are called to be His peace bringers. We are called to be the peace bearers. We are people of peace underneath the Prince of Peace. We are kingdom priests in the kingdom of God's peace. And so your job this week is to bring peace. To bring peace. If you look around, that's what our world is in need of. There's chaos everywhere you look. There's sickness. There's hurt. There's lies and deception. There's all kinds of things in our world today. And the solution to them is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And you have a role to play. Because you have family, and you have neighbors, and you have friends, and they need to hear a word of peace from you. They need to be reminded of the God you serve and the God that creates and holds all things. You must be a bringer of peace. The problem comes when you and I are tempted to not be bringers of peace, but instead to hinder peace in the coming weeks. And we can hinder peace, all right. We can hinder peace by the words that we say and the actions that we do. We must not do that. There must be grace and peace coming from the people of God, seasoned with salt. We must be lights in this world, and that is only done by resting in Him and reminding others to rest in Him. Not in judging, not in making opinions about whether you're right or wrong, not in making opinions about whether your neighbor is right or wrong, not by hoarding, not by fear, not by worry, but instead by peace. It's my encouragement to you, Baptist Church, is not to be overcome by fear, but instead, out of love and concern for your neighbor, rest in the peace of God. If you have to change your schedule, that's fine. Because we are people of peace, and we will not go about it by fighting and arguing. If we have to make hard decisions, that's fine. It could get worse tomorrow. It could get better. It could all go away. But none of that will concern us because we have a job to be people of peace. And whether it gets worse or it gets better, our job does not change. We want to be peaceful people who proclaim the glory and the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lesson from history that we can learn is from the great reformer, Martin Luther. During the time of the Protestant Reformation, the plague, the capital P plague, went through Europe. You know, the one that decimated a third of the country? It came through Wittenberg, where he is the preacher. And he decided that he would stay and he would minister to his people. But he told his students, those ministering with him, he said, if you want to go to quarantine, go to quarantine. Get out of harm's way. I'm going to stay. Don't let my decision impact you. Every man must make his own decision. Every man must decide whether or not that his conscience is right or wrong. But regardless of this, we will trust in God. And then he penned this hymn, a hymn that we sing often today, but I think a hymn that is helpful for us in times of trouble. He writes this, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly power, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through Him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, and His kingdom is forever." This morning, God's kingdom is forever. Ours is not. My message to you is to trust in the kingdom of God. Rest in His peace. And by doing so, we shall see the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray this morning that You would help us to trust in You. Help us to know that You are God and that You are good and that You are watching over us. We pray that you would allow Midway Baptist Church to be people of peace. We pray that you would allow us to proclaim your gospel during this time, and that you would protect and that you would make your name known. We thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.